Herbert, and thank you for joining me today on this episode of the Dino Herbert Show, Everyday Hero. Today's Everyday Hero is a gentleman by the name of Jim Bouchard, the leader of Dynamic Components of Personal Power. Jim is a speaker, he's an author, and he's a coach. He does podcasts, he travels all over the place doing webinars and seminars. Let's listen into the conversation we had earlier.
Well, thanks. I'm pretty humbled. I haven't been called a hero before, but and as far as the travel goes, I just got back from Florida, so I don't know if I'm real happy to be back here in the snow.
Right. I completely understand that. Well, I've had a chance to kind of review your bio a little bit, Jim, and why don't we just kind of get the obvious out of the way? You're the power guy. You're the karate guy. And so why don't you talk a little bit about how karate has led you into, you know, dynamic components of personal power?
The whole philosophy that I teach actually was born from my experience. I've been in a professional martial artist for a little more than 20 years now.
Okay.
And what I found, originally I set out to write a book called The Dynamic Components of Power, and it was for martial artists. It was really just trying to reduce, you know, what we see as complexity into the simple principles that would give us more power for punching and kicking. Well, in the middle of all that, you know, I was sharing these ideas with my students, and a lot of my students are in business and entrepreneurs and whatnot, and they kept saying, you know, we're using these ideas in real life as well. So the more I thought about it, I realized I was using these ideas, and really that's one of the great and lasting spirits of the martial arts is that, you know, in the modern era, since the, well, traditionally in Japan and China, when the warring states periods there were over, and a lot of the warrior philosophers started to emerge. Well, what happened, and the reason the warrior philosophers were able to resonate with folks is because they wanted to have the qualities that warrior had, the qualities of power and honor and loyalty and these other things. So I changed the title a little bit, called it Dynamic Components of Personal Power, and translated the ideas for people to use in business life and in real life. And the essence of it is centered on that word power. Power, I define, is your ability or capacity to perform or act effectively, you see. And so when we couch it in those terms, when we really take a concentrated look at that definition of power, my message is that all of us have access to, you know, nearly unlimited power. We can all become more effective at any time. It took me a long time to learn that, so I'm hoping that, you know, by speaking and sharing my books and whatnot, that you know, I hope that a few people find it a lot earlier than I did, and it's never too late to find it.
Okay. So tell me a little bit about kind of the essence of your empire. What are you guys all doing? Podcasts, books, speaking,
right,
et cetera. Kind of give me an overview of everything that you've got going on over there.
Well, you know, it's just like all the adventures you've got going, right? It's we've got so much opportunity out there. And, you know, there's a word that floats around a lot in our culture right now, and I think it's one of the most damaging concepts. It's this idea of entitlement.
Yes.
And really, you know, that's what weakness leads us to. If we don't realize our potential and our effectiveness, then inevitably there's a slide, you know, towards scarcity, towards poverty. And, you know, I don't know a whole lot about your, you know, your personal life. I've experienced authentic poverty, and I can tell you that, you know, it's not a pleasant place to be.
Oh, I can understand that.
Yeah, eventually what happens is if we live there long enough, or if we allow generations to live there in a particular community, you know, that can happen as well. Then there's that sense of entitlement. People are looking for, you know, someone else to come along and help them. Now, there's nothing wrong with helping one another. Obviously, that's something we should do. Generosity and gratitude are a big part of my message, and that's part of us living in a healthy state of interdependence. But see, when we embrace that idea of entitlement, we weaken ourselves. The main word, I've got to use some filthy language, the main thing is to take personal responsibility, and I know those words shock some people.
That's right. Those are nasty words you're saying.
Nasty
if I got to take personal responsibility for myself. Yeah, it's got to be somebody else's fault, right?
Right. One of the upcoming books I have coming out is Personal Responsibility and Other Filthy Words. So,
okay. That's good. That's
right.
Good stuff.
Thanks, but once we really embrace that idea, then we start to look at the world a little differently. And when we embrace, you know, the only entitlement I think we have in our culture is we do have an entitlement to opportunity. You know, that's what the founders set out to do, and of course we had a lot of side trips along the way, right? Because it was an inclusive idea at first. You know,
exactly.
Mankind had to evolve, and that's just the way it is. But here we are today, and we should be grateful for the abundance that we have, for the opportunity that we have. That's what we're entitled to. It's up to each one of us to really take personal responsibility. Then in that form, we create our own success and our own happiness. But that requires a lot of hard work. And I guess that's maybe what separates me from a lot of the people that are teaching these ideas, you know. I'll look you in the face and I'll say, hey, you know, success, just like earning a black belt. But earning a black belt is simple, but it's not easy, right? And success is the same way. I mean, all you have to do is get out there and do the work. In martial arts, we call that kung fu. And that's, hey, there's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears involved. But along with that, there's a lot of joy, right?
Exactly right. Exactly right. Now, I have to, before we get off the martial arts kick, I have to ask you, you know, why martial arts? Now, my brother and we went to a class. I think I was about 6 and he was 4. And we went to a free little weekly class and we put on our little white clothes and it was great fun. And I would imagine that most little boys would enjoy getting involved in martial arts in some way because, you know, just like my sons, they like roughhousing and they like running around and wrestling and pushing and shoving. But you kind of chose to make it a career. Did you get beat up when you were little or what? And you were a little older. You weren't a little guy when you started, right?
No, I was an adult. And a lot of people these days start as adults. And you know, boys and girls, men and women, pretty much, you know, when I started, it was not unheard of, but it was kind of rare for a woman to be involved. And the younger girls started to be a little bit more involved. We taught a lot of kids that, you know, were boys and girls. Now, I think across the country, you'll find most places, most centers have about a 50-50 mix if it's a healthy community.
Okay.
And, yeah, it's because, you know, I'm not ashamed to share, you know, my personal journey. That's part of, you know, part of what makes, you know, what I'm teaching important and accessible to folks. So I'll share this with you. The reason I got involved with martial arts was because I had no sense of self-belief, you know, self-valuation or self-worth.
It
took me a long time to understand that the belief had to come before any reward, success, or sometimes even before action, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you don't believe, if you don't have some core belief that, you know, there's a possibility of your desired outcome, well, it's really hard to get started. It's really hard to get motivated. So, you know, but a lot of folks teach us backwards. In my book, Dynamic Components of Personal Power, I talk about the top 5 lies about power. And, you know, one of them is, and it's probably the worst one, sometimes people tell us, you can't get it. Now, it's not always with ill intentions. Sometimes they're trying to keep us from getting hurt, from making mistakes, from taking risks, you see. But the fact is, all rewards have risk, you know. I mean, the only thing that really guarantees a predictable outcome is quitting, right?
That's
correct.
What's
going to happen, which is nothing. But as long as we're in motion, we want to take action, there's risk. And in order to take that risk, you have to believe. So you've got to start building, and I think with young people, that's why it's interesting. When young people get involved with martial arts, that's so important. If you have a martial arts program near you, I really, really recommend finding a good program, getting kids involved, because that's part of the process is to develop that belief, and that's only developed by introducing, you know, continually graduating challenges, right?
Right.
Once we know we can do something, we overcome a challenge, then we keep going. And sadly, if there is a scarcity in our culture, it's been a scarcity of people wanting to accept challenges, embracing challenges. We want everything to be safe and sanitized. Well, that's just not the way it is. And, of course, now that our economic cycle is turned down again, you know, a lot more people, I think, that haven't been through it. You know, I don't know how old you are, but I've been through a couple of these cycles before.
Right, right. Yeah, I have too. I'm early 40s, and in fact, I don't want to plug my stuff. This is about you,
I actually
did a recording entitled "How to Do a Startup During Down Times,"
right.
And I talked about economic cycles and how it's just something that it's been here before. It's going to be here again. Other companies were started during times like this, so it's nothing for us to get so excited about because it's just a part of the cycle.
Right.
For some reason, people are terribly upset and as if it's never happened before.
Right, and you know, the other part, and I'm not saying, you know, people shouldn't be concerned or even fearful. I don't believe that courage is the absence of fear. The absence of fear is stupidity, right?
Uh-huh, but, right, right.
You know, fear awakens us, and that's okay. And there are genuinely a lot of hardship cases going on right now. I mean, I know I just read that Caterpillar is laying off 20,000 people.
Right, yeah, a lot of people are out of jobs.
Right, that's a very real fear. But there are things we can do something about, and there are things we can't do something about.
Exactly.
We've got to get tough. We've got to make tough choices. And, again, probably you've been through these situations. I've been through them as well. It's not easy. It's not a nice thing to all of a sudden look and say, all right, I've got to uproot my family, move somewhere else so that I can get a job where my talents and abilities will be valued. But that is a decision we need to make. That's a more powerful decision. So you've taken control rather than waiting around for something to come along and save you, right?
And right.
Even if the layoff hasn't come yet, see, the whole idea behind power, and I'm looking at your website, you said the power of the potential is within, right?
Right.
So what's the trick? The trick is really, let's not wait for the axe to fall. Something I like to say when I'm speaking is this. I've learned through life, because I was a disgruntled employee, and I was a, kind of a rankled young man who thought the whole world was against me. I think a lot of us go through that when we're young. But, the idea, I finally learned there is no the man. He's not out to get me. He's not going to help me. I don't work for him. I work for myself, you see.
Exactly. Exactly right.
So I got to that point, and if people embrace that, see, if you see these times coming and you're aware of it, and let's say you have a pretty good suspicion that your company's downsizing, well, the trick is to get involved with your personal growth, with assuming your power much earlier than when the axe falls. Take your talents and, first of all, improve your talents and abilities. They're the only tangible commodities you really have. They're the commodities you can take with you anywhere, and nobody can take them away from you. But you've
That's
got
correct.
To work to develop them, and you can work to develop them at any time. If you have great talents and abilities that will translate to other industries, well, then right now, learn how to translate them. Network with the people who may be giving you your next job. Or, like you said, to start up a business. There's great opportunities to start up businesses in a down economy. People need and want things all the time, and I'm going to differentiate that because sometimes a want is different than a need, right?
Yes, that is correct.
There you go. But if you fulfill a need, and there are a lot of great needs going on right now, then you'll have a successful startup. And frankly, if you're selling something and if you're in business right now rather than a startup, it's just as important. There's a lot of talk now about discretionary spending, right?
Right.
Yeah. Well, find a way that your service or your product is essential. And most of us can do that. We had to learn that in martial arts. What we do now, if this helps anybody, we market the values. If we look at it and we say, okay, I'm going to sell you a martial arts program for your kids and it costs X amount of dollars over 6 weeks, all of a sudden I've asked for money and I've couched it in terms of time.
Mm-hmm.
But if I ask you this, if I say, here are the values that we teach in a martial arts program. We're going to teach your children to be self-reliant. We're going to teach them about self-confidence. We're going to teach them about honor and sincerity and honesty. Are those values essential or are those values discretionary? You see? It couches
right, that's
it
an excellent question. Yes.
Mm-hmm. It couches it in an entirely different light. So as much as possible, find that. And if your business, your service, or whatever has actually evolved, because businesses do evolve, the classic story is the buggy whip, right?
Right, exactly.
If you're making buggy whips right now, now's the time to leverage your talents and abilities, leverage the power of the people you have, and that's an important thing. When I'm teaching in a corporate setting, I'm really working on the individual to accept personal responsibility for success and happiness and understand that when each individual in a company is becoming powerful and when the company encourages that power, remember the power being your capacity for effectiveness, then the entire organization becomes more powerful and ultimately more profitable. So, that's the trick. So always encourage that constant, personal development, that constant striving for perfection. And if you're making the buggy whip, well, find the next thing that you can apply your talents and abilities to, you can apply your production process to, because those are things that are transferable.
Excellent.
Can we solve the whole world's problem?
Well, not quite. I mean, we're darn close.
Tears.
I mean,
we need the blood
tears. Yeah, taking personal responsibility, I think, is a big, huge step for many people, because I think that often people feel powerless, to use your word, and they feel as if they don't have any choices. But once they begin to take personal responsibility, they realize that they have some options. And I think that's where, you know, your sense of powerless can go away if you begin to realize you do indeed have options.
Sure. You know, when you surrender that personal responsibility, then you are giving up options. You're putting mm-hmm. your destiny in somebody else's hands. You know what I mean? And I don't know. To me, that's the last thing I want to do. I just wrote a blog post recently, and you can find that. You can link to it on my website. It's found on the Power Blog tab. And
okay.
Really, the focus of it was this. When you really, you know, the price of freedom really is that personal responsibility. If you surrender that, if you give up to the tough times, if you quit, whatever, all the time your options are reduced. And if you put your, if you put the responsibility for your success and happiness in someone else's hands, then you're completely dependent on what they do, you see?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And, you know, one thing that happens, nobody wants to lay off people in business. I mean, I've never yet, I'm sure you've been through the same thing. If you coach executives or managers, most of us don't want to downsize, though it might be the right thing to do at a particular time. And when you take it personally, you say, and I know because I've been through that as well, but it's hard not to take it personally. You have to consciously, you know, reverse that thinking. But you have to say, hey, you know what? I got laid off. It's not my failure. It's what that company needed to do to survive. It's my responsibility to get out there and do what I need to do to survive.
Yes.
Now the options start opening to you. If you sit around waiting for that company to come back and hire you again, well, they may, but they may not. You've surrendered that option to someone else, and they may not be able to take care of you.
Exactly right. Exactly right. Now, Jim, let's rewind a little bit and go back before 1985 when you started doing martial arts. You mentioned that you've experienced poverty. I don't know exactly when, but I was looking at your bio, and you've done a lot of things. You've been TV producer, publisher, volunteer firefighter, musician, disc jockey, construction, janitor, football coach, high-bob vendor, manager, employee, entrepreneur. I mean, you've got a long list of accomplishments, a long list of things that you've been involved with. Tell me a little bit about how you got to the point where, you know, you wanted to seek those new challenges, and it looks as if you, where you saw an opportunity, you went that way. There are some people who, you know, they grow up, they go to school, they leave high school, and they look for that one job, and if all goes well, that's where they stay. But you seem to have had the mindset that I've got opportunities if I can move around. Tell me a little bit about that story.
I wish it was that way, and this is the part I think that people identify with. I hope people identify with when I'm telling my story, especially live. You know, if we meet face-to-face, you know, any of the folks that are listening, I understand what people are going through, because know that all those jobs I had, and that's part of the reason we list that you look at it this way, that's kind of a crummy resume, because I didn't stay with any of those positions very long. Part of it was I fortunately had, I think, a gift from my mom, which was I wasn't afraid of trying a new experience, even though mm-hmm. I lacked confidence, you see.
Right.
A lot of these jobs, I jumped from place to place, some of it out of necessity. When I was selling hot dogs, it was because my martial arts business was really, really experiencing a tough time, and I needed money. People wanted hot dogs. I sold them hot dogs. You see what I'm saying? Give the people what you want. And that's what I'm saying. When you accept responsibility and you do what's necessary to get you through, like I said, other choices. Now, that became a great lesson, and part of what I've learned is to accept these things as wonderful lessons and make them part of what you ultimately want to do. Now, as far as, you know, these different experiences happened, a lot of it came, I didn't stay very long at places because I didn't see them as successes. You just mentioned them in the context of successes. And that's critical. It goes back to that self-belief component.
Right.
And that's a lot of what martial arts taught me. Once you start believing in yourself, then no matter what happens, when I say start believing in yourself, remember, that requires work. You have to practice doing that. And once you do, and that's the defining, I think that's one of the most important defining values I've seen in people that I admire that are successful. Constant self-belief. So when they encounter a challenge or a problem or even a failure, because I'm not afraid to use that word, instead of couching that failure in a cycle of fear and doubt and complacency, they'll look at it and say, that's a failure. It doesn't mean I'm a failure. You see?
Right. Right.
And then we take that, and that's how we can get the lesson, because it can be a platitude to just tell people, yeah, you know, failure is a lesson. Well, it doesn't feel that way when you're failing, right? Well, you know, I had this great trainer when I was boxing, and usually he'd tell this story when, you know, my nose was broken or my eye was hanging off my face. He'd say, you know, don't worry about it. He said, you always learn more when you lose. And then he'd pause a little bit, and then he'd add this, and he said, but some days you just don't feel like learning anything, do you?
No, exactly right. It hurts when you're going through that stuff.
It hurts when you're going through that. But see, ultimately what you can do, again, back to those, you know, that critical element of taking responsibility, then you look at it and you say, okay, let's take the example of a failure. You say, all right, this project failed. Maybe I launched a business and it failed. Well, most successful people that are now listed on Fortune 500 lists and whatnot, you know, they've failed in business 5 to 6 major failures before they create their big success.
Right.
The trick is to look at each failure in the form of a success. And I don't mean that as a platitude, but by saying, what did I do? You know, what was my best effort and what did I take away from it? When I, you know, the failures that I'm responsible for, I'll look at it and I'll say, that I can learn from. I won't repeat the same mistake again. And let's face it, these days particularly, we're in one of those cycles where you may be experiencing a failure because of circumstances and conditions that you can't control. And when that
right.
happens, it's particularly important to understand that while your business may have failed or your organization may have failed because of circumstances and conditions you couldn't control, that doesn't make you a failure. You got to have the strength and the power to get up and, take your talents and abilities and go where they will be valued and where you'll be compensated for them.
That's excellent. And as you were talking there about failure, I thought about Thomas Edison and
yeah.
how they asked him, you know, how did it make you feel to fail 9,000 times, 10,000 times before you invented the incandescent light bulb? And he said, well, I didn't really look at them as failures. I looked at them as 9 or 10,000 ways of not doing it.
Exactly. And like I said, it's not that it makes it less painful, but pain and frustration and suffering are part of life. You know, one of my martial arts masters used to tell us that frustration was the well from which all wisdom springs, right?
That's right.
Wisdom really being the element of experience. You can have knowledge without wisdom. You can have knowledge without power if you're not applying it. Well, another one of the top lies that I talk about is money is power, and you can substitute knowledge, fame, goodwill, whatever. Those are important resources, but until you've turned it into action, you're really not going to be effective. You don't have power. And the core of that is belief. Belief is not a platitude. I know there's a lot of teachers out there or people that buy into it the wrong way and say, all I have to do is sit and believe. Well, no, you have to take action. You have to do
yes.
the kung fu as well. But the belief, you have to create a discipline discipline of self-belief. And that takes practice. It really does. You have to sit there and analyze. I call it taking an inventory of your talents and abilities and of your material, emotional, and spiritual resources. And it's really a simple technique. And the key word is gratitude. Every day, all I do is when I wake up in the morning is make a conscious effort to look around and just say thank you for the material things that I do have, for the relationships that I have, and for my connection with other people and that which is bigger than me. And that's what I'm talking about when I talk about that spiritual resource. So any given
Excellent.
Time, no matter how little we have, when we express gratitude, we see what we do have, and we focus on the resources that we do have. And, hey, no matter where we're going, we've got to start with what we have here and now, right? I think you get the impression now that I'm pretty blunt about my message. And I'm developing a partnership in Kenya. I'm hoping to go over to Kenya to speak in the spring or the summer this year.
Okay.
And what a wonderful opportunity that is. And the people I've met so far, just energetic, entrepreneurial spirit is terrific. But when we're talking about poverty with my partner in Kenya, you know, they're talking about, in a lot of cases, where's my food for the next week? In America, I know we have issues and we've got to take care of this. But I think the last statistic I saw was 85% of the people that live below the poverty line in the United States still have a cell phone and access to cable or satellite television. It's incredible, and it's not to diminish the pain of poverty, you see. And there are people that are homeless. There are people that authentically, when I talk about authentic poverty, I'm talking about people that are worrying about where their food is coming from next week. You see?
Right, right.
Or maybe today. But when we couch it there, we do have to say, it's relative. It's relative to cultural differences. It's relative to the geography that we live in. Relative to our culture, poverty is poverty, right? So if you're out of work, but you still, you know, you manage to have the television, whatever, that's cool. But the idea is once you start to look at it, and I've been through this even when I've had, you know, some relative abundance. You know, sometimes in business, I'm sure you've been through this as well, you know, we can have some assets, yet we might be cash poor at any particular time. Sometimes we make choices. But see, to you and I think, and I hope people can appreciate this mindset and benefit from it, share it with us, that we're likely to say, okay, well, I can live without television. I'm going to put that resource into, you know, advertising, or rather than watching television, I'm going to spend my time creating a new marketing plan. I'm going to go out and meet people and network and make contacts. And that can happen at any level. If, you know, and there's nothing wrong with being an employee. If that's your ambition, to be an employee, to have a good job, to have a good trade, that's good. You can still employ the same ideas that entrepreneurs do. Get out and meet the people you might want to work for. Meet people in the job that you want to work in. Meet people in the trade. Offer yourself as an intern. You see, there's always something you can do once you take responsibility.
Yes.
And we've been there. So there it is. That's how I ended up selling Hot Dogs.
Yeah. Right. Well, you have to do what you have to do. And something that I've learned is you always have a choice.
Yeah, let me one of those choices is quitting, too. And that's something, again, I'm pretty blunt about. You know, sometimes people are, why do you keep going? Because there's no option. I can't quit. Well, yes, you can. You can quit. And quitting absolutely guarantees a result. And the result is nothing.
Right.
Once you take action, there's risk. But the reward for that risk is amazing. You also have to understand that it may be a while before you get the reward, and I think that's a concept that's a little, I'm not going to say lost, but dormant in our culture right now. We want everything right now.
Yeah, we want it now, right. Because of the lottery, because of professional sports, we think that, with a little bit of work, you know, we can have it right away.
You know, I'm so glad you mentioned the sports thing, too, because a lot of people look at an athlete and say, oh, yeah, that guy, you know, he got out of college, bang, he's making a few million dollars. And, you know, I know some of these people. They work so hard.
Yeah,
when you think about it, I equate it a lot like a martial artist, you know. You look at a football player that comes into the NFL draft. How long has that guy been practicing football?
It's been a while.
Been a while, right? Usually since he's probably 4 or 5 years old and he's played Pop Warner or whatever. So by the time that guy gets to college, he's been practicing football for 10, 12, 15 years or so, right?
Yes.
That's a master level if someone dedicates themselves with that same effort in martial arts, you see,
or
business or anything else. So when that person comes out into the draft, no, it's not an overnight success. They're cashing in. They're demonstrating the value for their talents and abilities. So rather than be jealous of those athletes, we should look at them as examples, provided they're not messing up their lives like some of them do, right?
Right, exactly.
Right.
Now, since we're kind of on the professional football kick, I see that you've got a little bit of professional football experience on your resume as well. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Oh, semi-professional, that's my midlife crisis. I'm one of the oldest rookies probably ever. I was 43, 44, something like that when I started to play. Obviously, I entered as a kicker, and I found I loved defense, so I played safety for a while. No, and that opportunity, though, it did a lot for me. The message in that is sometimes you'll get involved with something like that and think that it may be just for fun, or it may have nothing to do with your vision of personal success and happiness. But I'll tell you what. First of all, the guys that I met on the team, there's an energy, and most of the guys in the league are in their 20s, so there's an interesting relationship that happens between people that are in middle age and people that are younger. You get an energy from the younger folks, and hopefully they get a little wisdom and experience from us. My long snapper, one of my best friends, you'll see him on the website, Smokey Hicks, he was 51 when he started playing. And we were just joking the other day. We both announced our retirement last year, and then he called. He said, hey, Jim, you really going to retire?
So you guys are still playing.
Well, we may be pulling a Brett Favre, yeah, because we both did play last year.
Okay.
I just turned 48, so, you know, it's amazing. And one of the things you learn from doing, do what you love. If you love something and you're able to do it, do it. I shattered my leg in my second year. My right leg has steel plates in it now. And one of the best experiences I ever had in my life and really contributed to the dynamic components was making a comeback from that. I needed a challenge like that in my life at the time, and I said, you know what, I'm not going to let this stop me. I had a great surgeon, I'm going to plug him, Dr. Stephen Rodrigue. I remember sitting in the hospital bed, I don't know if this was the effect of the morphine or what, but I said, is there any chance I'd be able to play again? And he said, yeah, he said, you know, you messed up your leg pretty good, but he said, if you want to, we'll put you back together. He said, we'll get you out there again. And I said, should I? Now, isn't that interesting? See, I was surrendering a little personal responsibility. I'm asking my doc, should I? And
right.
He said, you know what? He said, my advice is if you love it and you can do it, then why not? Go for it.
That's incredible.
What a wonderful philosophy, right?
Yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah, and sometimes that development, too. You know, I when I coach people, sometimes they may be struggling for some little victory, some little success. And I'll ask them, I say, well, what would you really love to do? Well, I've always wanted to play guitar. Well, fine, pick one up, right? Start doing that. Well, what does that have to do with eventually with success and happiness? I said, well, because you need a victory in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, any new acquisition of skill requires discipline, doesn't it?
That's right.
Focus. It requires good, you know, so you're developing the skills that are going to translate. It's not like, you know, if you're a guitar player, those skills only stay there. You take that into business, you take that into life, you take that into everything.
Good. Now, you know, I could talk to you all afternoon.
Oh, likewise.
What my listeners are people who are, you know, entrepreneur wannabes, who are already entrepreneurs, people who are kind of on the edge. I'd like to do it, but I don't know exactly what I should do, or maybe I shouldn't do it because it's a little scary. What advice would you give these folk? They've already started a business, or they're wanting to start a business. What kind of nutshell advice would you give them?
Well, you know, first thing is to network with folks that have gone through it before. And, you know, I've made every mistake there is as an entrepreneur. I'm actually going to – one of my many book projects that I have, I have a whole lot of book projects in the works.
Right.
One of them has to do with that, exactly. And the working title is The 10 Reasons You Should Not Be an Entrepreneur and the One Overwhelming Reason You Should.
Okay.
And there are reasons that – you want to look at before you jump out of the plane, right? Before you jump out of the plane, isn't there a whole checklist you go through?
Oh, without a doubt.
It should be the same in business, no? And
sometimes
people, here's one mistake and that people often make, and certainly almost everybody in the martial arts business started this way. There's a kind of a platitude out there that says all you got to do to succeed in business is have a passion.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it just ain't true. The passion is important, and you can make a business of your passion, and you'd better find a way to be passionate about your business no matter what it is. Probably the most important thing about thinking about starting a business is this. Take inventory. And right now, I advise people, and there's some resources for this on my website as well, check out the New Year Revolution program, and that's a goal-setting program. It works any time of the year, and it's very applicable to business.
Mm-hmm.
What it's all about is taking an inventory of your material resources, your emotional resources, and your spiritual resources. Setting a big idea as your goal, but then developing actionable steps from that. Setting goals you know you can attain with the resources you have right now. And one goal, let's take the classic one, because even as tight as credit is right now, a lot of people can still get access to money if they have a decent credit record.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a big fan of credit, but the fact is, if you're starting a business and you have some assets and you're really willing to risk your house and whatnot, you can get the money you need to start the business. Do you have the emotional resources necessary, the support of your friends, your family, your business associates? Do you have the spiritual resources necessary? Do you believe in yourself? Are you connected with something beyond yourself so that's going to sustain you when times get tough? Do you have the courage, right?
Mm-hmm.
And those are all important things. If the material resources are lacking, technically that's probably the easiest one to deal with. You might want to adjust your goals to say, you know what, my first goal is to develop the resources I need to get started, you see. And sometimes we're back to that delaying the gratification thing. Sometimes we have to put off our dreams and plans a little bit in order to strengthen the foundation so that ultimately you'll be successful. So that's important. In a quick nutshell, I'd say one of the other huge pieces of advice I have for people starting in business is blood may be thicker than water, but ink is way thicker than blood. Family business is, above all, business. Resist the temptation to keep things informal. Make sure everything's on paper. Make sure you've got all your T's crossed and your I's dotted. And make sure you have not only a functional relationship strategy, but also an exit strategy. Because most business relationships at some point end, and you want them to end on a positive note. Other than that, develop the talents and abilities you have, and if you want to leverage that to business, I'd be the first one to say, go for it. I know Dino's, I'm looking at his website, he's got a tremendous amount of resources to support that. Likewise, you can go on jimbouchard.org and hit the entrepreneurial power button, and I've got a bunch of resources there as well.
Thank you so much for joining me on today's episode of the Dino Herbert Show, Everyday Hero. Why don't you drop me a line and let me know what you thought about today's episode? You can also find me at dinoherbert.com for other books, recordings, and to book me to speak at your next engagement. It's always a pleasure having you here. And remember, I am passionate about people who are pursuing their potential.